Hello and welcome to Dunami Therapy. It is September 20th, and as usual, I have absolutely no snappy opening whatsoever. So, we'll introduce myself. I am Michael, and you are?
Tommy.
Alright. And because, due to the lack of the aforementioned snappy opening, we will, as usual, just get into it. Beginning with My Hero Academia, Episode 18. So, everyone's still going in the cavalry, battle, essentially. So, there's a lot of stuff going on, summarizing it would, all of, like, the intricacies would be take a little while, but the important, stuff, basically, is that it is kind of funny that remember how I mentioned the guy who manages to get the stuff from Bakugo's team decides rather than like running off with it to just stand there and explain the situation and make fun of him, which of course then makes Bakugo get super angry and get the thing back.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's that. Anyway, we get that. In the meantime, though, the other teams are of course all trying to do their stuff with Deku trying to hold on to it, but it getting taken, like his 10 million points things. But then they're able to, get some headbands back and barely make it and get fourth place and advance onward.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought this was another good, fun episode of the series. I don't know if you liked it.
Well, I thought it was a little predictable, but at the same time, it was entertaining. So.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, at least Deku didn't get first place again. he barely squeaked in, which I thought was a little better. There's also a bunch of some stuff about like Todoroki, the guy with the fire and ice powers and not wanting to use his fire, but that's explained better in the next episode, so I won't really dwell on it.
Okay.
Sorry, keep going.
Oh, I thought it was like a little over the top dramatic over how they ended up getting fourth place and how he like ends up crying and all of that. I guess though that was for humor purposes, but yeah. Besides that, I thought it was a pretty good episode.
Yeah, it's just not something that there's too much to talk about other than saying, well, that was fun and I enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, then we'll move on to Attack on Titan. Episode 41. Yeah, episode 4 of this season, 41 of that. Okay, so Levi and the group find the guys who are tracking them, and they don't actually end up really mattering, so I'm going to skip over that part. I mean, a little, but really not much. I'll just mention the part where John is, pretending to, like, be all, like, you know, I'm going to kill you against my captain's orders and stuff, you know, to try to test him. I'm thinking, okay, it's really obvious this isn't real. This isn't in his character. If, like, Mikasa had done this, I would have been able to better buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but in terms of stuff that actually is kind of important, Hanji manages to, Flagel, the son of the guy who got killed, and manages to kind of convince him to help her out. And then, by having, like, you know, the bad guys try to kill him, and he goes, well, can you tell me why you killed my father? And the guy, who has apparently never read the Evil Overlord list, decides to say, oh, sure, here's all the reasons we did it, and we were also going to kill him anyway. Golly, I hope there isn't anyone around here listening to us, because that would be really bad. I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily mind him, saying why, but when he starts going, yeah, we would have killed him anyway, I'm just like, okay, you're just being really stupid now.
Mm-hmm.
But that reveals, so they all get beaten, and then that's revealed to all the people and such. That was a big thing. And then there's some stuff with Erevin that about how he's getting like framed for the murder and is going to be executed. And that's, I guess, where the episode leaves off on.
Yeah, I had a hard time following along with this. I don't understand the basic what's going on. Like, why? What's this information that they need so bad? Why do they need it?
Well, who are you talking about right now?
Hanji. Like, why does Hanji need this information so bad?
Oh, you mean like the fact that, like, you know, the guys were trying to, that the, like, MPs, you know, like the military police, like, killed the guy and then tried to frame Erevin for it? That was because, well, because not only did she, like, you know, get that, she had a lot of people hear it so that they can't, like, mm-hmm. kind of cover it up. They had all these witnesses to the guy who admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, so that they won't be able to, like, go, oh, no, we had nothing to do with it, because there's all the witnesses that saw a guy say he did have something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just really confused with this right now. So,
yeah, it is a little nice that they, like I said, they sort of have been speeding up this part, which is kind of underwhelming in the comic, but it does make things more confusing. But on the plus side, it does mean that we'll be getting to the more interesting parts faster, which is something, I guess. Right now, I'm just kind of like, all right, well, that was some stuff that happened. I hope we get to the more interesting stuff soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was Attack on Titan. We've got Fooly Cooly Alternative Episode 2, which is kind of the same thing as episode one, really. A bunch of fun slice of life stuff, and then Haruko appears a few times throughout, and then shows up at the end to fight the monster. I mean, it's basically the same thing as the first episode.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say about it. It was just pretty much. Yeah, she kept on showing up with like a food truck, mm-hmm. and then she had to fight off that thing again, which I guess it's more entertaining than that first season was, but the last season, I mean, but
oh yeah, this is like I'm not like huge on it, but this is so much better than Progressive.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, yep, it's trying to make some sort of political statement against progressives by having the season two be kind of named Progressive be kind of bad? Probably not, but yeah, we'll just kind of skip over that. Now, you probably didn't, and I normally don't, but did you see Pop Team Epic this week?
I think I saw a couple minutes of it, but not really.
Oh, because I actually liked this episode, mm-hmm. which surprised me. Because normally, like, I don't really, but I did actually enjoy this one. Maybe it's because, like, the sort of main skit of it wasn't, like, kind of the super short one they've had. It was this thing about, like, these people in this house, and then they kind of grow paranoid and end up killing each other or accidentally dying. And it sounds really morbid, but it's so over the top, I found it hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the great part. Although, there is a brief thing where one of the characters, I can never remember the name, is giant, and the other one just goes, how do you get that big? And then it just pauses and goes, science. And that just, I thought that was hilarious. But anyway, and then when they repeat it, and like I said, normally I don't like this outside of the repeats, outside of the fact that, you know, it means, well, I can just watch half the episode and I'm done with it. But this one I did watch. And this is a sort of thing where they repeat it. I wish they would do more of, where they kind of creatively change it rather than just making a few modifications. Because when they repeat it, that beginning thing I saw with like the house and stuff, they show that. And they have a guy in live action doing a YouTube-style reaction video to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, like, this guy there, like, who's doing, like, this, who, just like on a YouTube reaction video, is just watching it and making commentary. I just thought that was hilarious. So, yeah, a pretty decent episode. Also, you know those like sort of fake previews they do for that Hoshido Girl Drop like supposed series? This one was this one I liked also, because previously it's all been like cliche slice of life, you know, romance stuff. Well, and in this one, it just is like saying next time, and it's revealed that the main female character in the past sacrificed her life to save the guy, and then Gaia erased his memories of her in order to bring her back to life. And I'm just like, it's just so completely off the rails from how what in the that fake series was looking like before that I just thought it was really funny. So yeah, this was actually a really good episode of Pop Team Epic, in my opinion. And honestly, if it had been more like this at the start, I probably would have enjoyed it more. Okay. So, now that we're done with that, we're on... Hang on. I wrote down this was episode... episode 4, but is it? I think this is... Yes, this is episode 4. I'm sorry. I got mixed up. Okay, episode 4 of Diamond is Unbreakable. So, after... let's see. So the bad guy, you know, has brought in Koichi, yeah. And so Josuke, you know, into the house. So Josuke goes to try to rescue him and ends up sort of getting into a fight, but he dodges the attack. But then the guy hits his brother instead and is then kind of a jerk about it. Like, well, you shouldn't have done that. You got hit. So then but Josuke, you know, heals the guy and then anyway, and then, you know, he's like, oh, why did you heal me? And you know, there's actually a bunch of that stuff we're trying to figure it out. Anyway, so the younger brother character ends up saving Josuke from a trap, you know, just saying, now we're even, I'm just gonna leave the house and not help you or my brother, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to become a good guy at some point down the line, because I'm featured prominently in the theme song. Anyway, so then we get to the stuff with Josuke fighting against Army Guy. The guy with the trademark friendly stand Worse Company. Which is actually just a bunch of miniature soldiers, which makes me actually, it doesn't really elaborate on this, but because if you hurt a stand, it hurts the user. But how does that work when the thing isn't like, you know, even vaguely humanoid in this thing? Like if you kick one of the guys, if you manage to kick one of the guys, what part of the body does that hurt? Well, this episode doesn't explain it. But anyway, they get into the fight and Koichi apparently develops some sort of stand due to being hit by the arrow, but then it's just an egg, and that's it so far. Anyway, so we have the usual sort of JoJo stand fight, and ultimately Josuke is able to win by taking the sort of mini missiles that were launched at him, reconstructing them with his stand, and then firing them back at Army Guy, whose name I can never remember. And then that's and that defeats them, and that's the end of the episode.
What did you think of this episode?
I thought it was the best episode of this season so far.
Well, yeah. Well, there's only been 4 episodes.
Yeah, but I mean, I really liked it. It felt so much more like the last 2 episodes. I've been kind of saying, well, there's just something kind of missing, and I'm like, yeah, this is the JoJo that I like so much in the previous season. Fun stand battles with weird powers and outsmarting them and stuff. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was I liked the way it sort of gave us a little more development on some of the side characters. I liked the fact that like Koichi is going to get some kind of stand ability, because I was worried that he was just going to kind of be the useless sidekick character, but if he's going to get a stand, he's presumably going to be relevant. So yeah, on the whole, I really liked this episode.
Yeah, I liked it, but I don't know. It still felt like something was missing for me. It just doesn't seem to. it just seems to be, okay, there's these sand battles, but what's the ultimate point of all these sand battles other than just to kill the main character, you know? I'm looking for, like, a overall plot to connect things together so that I know why I'm supposed to care about the characters, you know?
Okay, yeah. It's my understanding that this part does develop a more sort of... For a while, it doesn't really have a sort of grand overall plot. I know the major villain comes into play later on, but for a while it's kind of more of sort of you know a sort of more regular series, except everyone's got superpowers and fights.
Mm-hmm.
And such. So it's not quite, so it's a bit of a different format than the previous one. But yeah, I can see that. But still, even if we don't have this is a final goal of it, we still do have the temporary goals. It's like, okay, this guy gets into the house, I gotta go rescue him. To do that, I gotta beat this guy. We have our stand battle, that stuff. And that's, at least for right now, is enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay, but I think this was a pretty good episode. It was it started out a little slow, but mm-hmm. I liked the way the stand battle ended up. So
that was good. It felt much more like the ones I liked from the previous seasons. The previous two ones this season I have not really enjoyed as much, but this one I liked more. So I'm hoping we'll see more stuff this. Mm-hmm. I guess. Okay. Hunter Hunter episode 111. Take it away.
Okay, so, I don't really know what to say. Pretty much, this episode happens in slow motion, and, maybe you do a better job explaining it than I would.
Okay, So the heroes are starting the invasion, and this results in the chairman guy fighting up against Neferpito, and we get a lot of narration about the fight, as in this is the sort of thing you'd hear from an episode of Rocky and Bullwinkle, except without the comedy. That was the whole point of that narration in that show. It's just this is what is happening. This is what happened. Blah, blah, blah. And I was kind of curious. I was wow, this is such a sudden shift. I mean, there's times where the narrator has been really talky, but nothing to this extent. So I did look up the individual chapter of the manga. And yes, in this chapter, there's this very sudden shift where there's all of this narration where previously, you know, there's a bunch, there's dialogue and stuff. There's all the sort of, if you read a comic, the sort of narrator boxes where it describes what's happening. And so basically this is really just adapting that. So that was the kind of issue there. But yeah, it just, there's so much narration instead of, you know, having the information conveyed is either shown visually or something that a character could say to mm-hmm. Explain it and such. To make it seem a little more dynamic. Also, a lot of the episode is devoted to sort of the backstory of the chairman, which basically consists of he trained really hard and got really strong.
Yeah.
That's it. They spend so much time on it. One Punch Man was much briefer about how Saitama became super strong. And that was a joke.
Yeah.
That was a joke. This one goes so much more on it spends more time on it. And again, it just comes to he trained really hard and he got strong.
Yeah.
I don't really need to know you don't need to go that much detail into it. But yeah, it was just yeah, it's just so much narration and unnecessary flashback. It's like the previous episodes, we can say not much happens, but you know, there are some talking, there are some things. This is, it just feels so dramatically different.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. And unfortunately, it doesn't get any better very quickly. So I think there's a few episodes of this. And yeah, I was having a hard time remembering what happened because I kind of forgot about it. But
yeah, I remember a while ago, like quite a while ago, you mentioned to me about how like later episodes just have the narrator go on incessantly. And I was like thinking, okay, I'm sure there's a lot of talking, but you're probably exaggerating a little. No, you are not exaggerating. This episode did make me want to go and watch some Rocky and Bullwinkle, though. Okay. So that's our usual Toonami ones. Do you want to move into the other series?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, yeah, Ice Shield 21, episode 97.
Okay, was it 97 or 98? I forget what
number. I think. Oh no, wait. I'm sorry. I have this. Wrong. I forgot. I have all like the episodes written down, except I forgot to up it this one. Sorry, good catch. This was episode 98.
Okay, so basically, Haruma comes up with something else stupid to sabotage his own team. This time, they're going to go with only freshmen playing. And that means that Taki, the tight end, is going to be the quarterback. And they supposedly have only 10 players. Well, they supposedly have only 10 players, but you only ever see 6 people. So who these other 4 people are is beyond me. Like, I don't know where these people, who these people are. You know, they're just like, they happen to be there, I guess, whenever the camera is not on. And whenever we're watching, we can't see them. So, but anyway, it's exactly the same as the last episode. They start out struggling, then they pull themselves together, and then they win, barely. Mm-hmm. At least the other game they won pretty handily. This one was like another one where they struggled so bad that they only barely won at the end. Anyway, I'm kind of over the death game already, and there's still 3 more to go. Like, I don't know if this is filler or not.
It's filler. It's filler.
It is.
Yeah, I'm looking at like the episode descriptions. I don't think we get back to canon until episode 106.
Well, that isn't that bad compared to Naruto, but I mean,
yeah, I mean we could like skip to that, or we could keep going with this if you want to go through each episode.
Well, yeah, I want to go through it just because.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure what I've seen. Seen every episode, so
yeah, that's fair.
I probably saw a bunch of filler already that I don't remember. You know, yeah. I wasn't aware of.
Okay, yeah, I'm re-looking. I think there might be something like from the that's canon within this filler an episode, but I'm not sure. It's been a while since I've read a series. I can't remember like everything. I just know this stuff didn't happen. My issue with it basically is that it's a game that's all about them learning a lesson they should have already known.
Yeah. And then they're slapping each other in the face over and over. It's just like, this is so weird.
Okay. So yeah, we've got that. I want to be a little complimentary. I thought the part where they're going to sort of scope out the other team, and then the other team like gets all upset about like the challenge, and then they're reading it, and it's like all this insulting stuff. That part was funny.
Well, there was one thing missing. I wish they would have had that letter would have had the words "Yaha" in it. Because remember the time, I'm not sure if you remember this, but it was like really early on, and this one guy read the letter, and like in the middle of the letter, it said "Yaha," and he reads it off like "Yaha," and it's just so funny hearing him read it like that. I was hoping that letter would have the same thing, and but unfortunately, it didn't happen.
Yeah, that would have been great if it mentioned that at the end, and like, you know, after going through all that, they just kind of have to like meekly, quietly say "Yaha." That would have been good. You're right.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll move on to Yowamushi Paddle Episode 4.
Okay. So you've got this character named Naruko, and every time I hear that word Naruko, I just want to say, believe it. And so he's this red-haired kid who knows a lot about bicycles and stuff, but he doesn't know that much about anime stuff, which Onoda was into. But he and Onoda are out, and they run into this guy who throws a cigarette butt at his bicycle. So then Naruko convinces him to go into a race after a car. And I'm just thinking, okay, have you ever seen a bicycle keep up with a car that's not stuck in traffic? Like, there's just no way you'd ever, like, not even the fastest people and fastest cyclists in the world could keep up with a car, especially a car like his car. But they go on this ride, and Naruko teaches Onoda about drafting, which is a very important thing in racing, which is true. It's completely true. So, but this is how they learn that. And basically, not only does he catch up to him, but then he never even throws the cigarette butt back at him. And basically, this is him making friends with Naruko. So I thought it was actually a very good episode, except for the fact that bicycles shouldn't be able to catch cars, especially driving ones.
I thought that was weird also, so I looked it up. Apparently, yeah, you can. The world record for fastest speed on a bicycle is 166.9 miles per hour.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that takes like a very custom built bicycle to be able to do, but yeah, if you're like, you can apparently go, apparently bicycles can go really fast if you're like, you know, good enough and and such. Wow. I assume it like requires like very customized bicycles, but
mm-hmm. You'd probably have to be though in a spot where you're going downhill, you know, or at the very least have no obstacles anywhere.
Well, maybe something like that, but still you people can go pretty fast. I'm like looking at some stuff. The world record for bicycling on snow, well, descending, is 116 miles per hour. So there's like a bunch of this stuff is sort of, like, you know, depending on stuff. But yeah, bicycles can, if they're like, you know, good, and they're obviously with a really good rider, can go pretty darn fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I I enjoyed it. I do think this is probably, I mean, we're, it doesn't mean much because it's a fourth episode, but it probably was the one I was least interested in. I don't know. I just thought all the, like, the guy getting super angry about the cigarette butt was kind of over the top. And I'm like, well, the guy wasn't really aiming towards a bike. He just threw it. It didn't, like, it just, it barely dinged the, like, hit the bike. It didn't cause any real damage that you couldn't just, you know, wipe off in, like, a second. It just felt like, that's really what you're getting angry about?
Yeah, I just thought that it was good because it explained the character pretty well, that he's, like, I guess, you know, one of these Naruto. I kept calling him Naruto because he just has so much spice in his personality. So I thought it worked pretty well. Okay. Just to,
oh, no, I didn't dislike it. I just didn't. Let me see. Okay, yeah, this for some reason I thought this, like, the manga might be really old, but like, and I was thinking, oh, it came, was it before Naruto? I'm like, no, this is after Naruto, so never mind. But Naruto is probably like an actual Japanese name, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little funny, I noticed too. At least, like, to me, an English speaker, because there's a part where he gets the guy's name wrong, because he calls him Onoda instead of Onoda. Like, the difference being the length of, like, the vowel, which actually does make a big difference in Japanese. Like,
right.
Like, yeah. Un and un. Like, one means yes, the other means no. It is, the only difference is how long you hold that u sound, which is, like, I can't think of anything in English that's, like, that. I don't know. It's just a little interesting for, like, the mix-up to be that when, like, that would, if you did that in English, like, no one would, like, consider it, like, you know, a mispronunciation. They might say, why are you holding on to that a little? But they, but, you know, like, I, if someone said Michael, I wouldn't say, no, my name's Michael, not Michael.
Yeah, that was one of those things that kind of gets lost in translation. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. Yeah, there's like a bunch of that stuff where, like, length, like I said, a bunch of, like, all kinds of words where, you know, you beat a different, you get a different word and meaning just by the length of the vowel sound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all right, so we got that. So that's Yomamushi Petal. I think it was a step down from the previous episodes, but still enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So, Haikyuu, episode 4. So now it's time for the match, and we get our first actual kind of real game of volleyball in this series, now that I think about it, where Hinata and Kageyama are up against Glasses Guy, Other Guy, and the Captain. Anyway, so they're trying to, you know, learn to work together better and such, and, you know, pull off, like, moves and stuff, and, you know, in terms of, like, being able to spike the ball and stuff. And actually, one thing I did appreciate about this episode was there's all these, like, times where they're like, okay, that sounds like a great idea, let's do it. And in so many cases, it would be, yeah, that's a turning point, they win. And then it's like, oh no, that didn't work, we didn't practice it enough. They, like, I like that in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The fact they kept, like, doing that. Like, there's the guy gives the inspirational speech, and then they still don't score. It was just such a contrast to, like, Ice Shield, where it's like, here's the inspirational speech. All right, now we're going to win. Or it's just, we're going to win. Okay, we're not quite there yet. But after, you know, a bunch of various attempts and trials and stuff, they do manage to, like, make to kind of figure out how to work the thing together and manage to score like a point using that. I can't remember what they called it something. I think later on they just called it, like, the Freak Quick or something. Using that, which was kind of so that was the episode.
Yeah, I thought this was probably the best so far.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the arguing with each other is getting a little bit annoying, but I do like how they're progressing. I just can't remember any of the players' names. So
yeah.
I know Hinata, and that's about it.
Yeah, I can't remember a lot of them either. It's like the problem that you always get that with so many series where like the names are actual Japanese names, and that just makes it harder for me to remember them when it's just like stuff like Hunter x Hunter is easier to remember because, you know, oh, just Gon, Killua, you know, more sort of simple stuff. Whereas these are just, I don't know, harder for me to remember the things for. I can mostly only remember Hinata, Kageyama, and actually, that's basically it now that I think about it. I thought I was going to say the captain's name, but then I realized, oh, no, wait, that was the name of the love interest in that fake preview that Pop Team Epic did. But yeah, it was enjoyable the way we got like a real game of volleyball. Well, like not real, because like actual volleyball, like I think there's like six members playing. But even like, you know, if it's like a sort of shortened one, they're actually it's like a real game of volleyball. I like the sort of progress they made in like working together better. And I already mentioned it, but I did appreciate the fact that it's not just simple, all right, inspiring speech, we're going to make this work. It doesn't instantly start working. They have to actually work at it more to get the thing sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I did like the stuff it kind of gave us with Kageyama's backstory about that whole King of the Court thing. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, good episode. I agree with you. I think it's the best one so far. And yeah, excited to see some more of what happens. I mean, I've seen some more episodes, but I forgot a lot of it blurs together because it was years ago I watched it, and I didn't watch all of it. So yeah, that is Haikyuu episode 4. That's all of them. I suppose we could go for our favorites. So we keep changing it, and now I'm a little confused. Well, are we just doing top three for each of the categories now?
Well, we could do top three for Toonami and then just our favorite for the sports ones.
Okay. For Toonami, let me think. Well, Diamond is Unbreakable would be in first for me, and then My Hero Academia, and then oh, golly, can I count? I'm not sure if I can count Pop Team Epic. I actually really like this episode.
Okay, go ahead.
But we don't normally do it. So, yeah, I'll put Pop Team Epic in third.
Yeah, I hear that there's a arc of Dragon Ball Super going on, which almost tempted me to watch it. But then I was like, if I start watching, then I have to. I can't quit on it again.
I watched the episode. It was decent. Boo had like a fight. It was kind of funny that like through a bunch of it, Boo doesn't even like realize it's a fight. He just thinks it's a game. So he's getting beaten up, and he's just like about how much he thinks it's fun. Mm-hmm. And then Mr. Satan gets injured, and Boo gets super angry, and then beats the guy. So yeah, that was kind of cool. I liked that. It wasn't anything special, but it's definitely, now that the arc has actually started, more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mine would be the same, except the first two are the same. Now I can't even remember. Okay, yeah, it was JoJo first, and then My Hero Academia second. And then probably Fooly Cooly in third. Hunter x Hunter, this is just embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it, but yeah, there it is.
I think this big, like I said, this is from the comic. There was a lot less dialogue and a lot more sort of narration bubbles, and I think this happened around the time that the author came back after one of his like infamously long hiatuses. So that might be it. Like, you know, he just came back in a different frame of mind or something. That would explain mm-hmm. the sort of switch.
Yeah. He got bored. So
a kind of running joke among like people who read it is that he goes on hiatuses because he wants to play Dragon Quest.
What does that have to do with?
I don't know exactly where it came from, but I think apparently the author was like a fan of that series, and so mm-hmm. I'm guessing some of the hiatuses happen, like most likely coincidentally coincided with like being around the time of a new game release or something. I'm not sure about that. I assume that's the case because that would explain where the joke comes from. But yeah, that's mm-hmm. what I've seen a bunch of like people make jokes about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one theory, you know, maybe. Okay, for the top of the sports anime, well, there's only two to pick from because ICO 21 was just average. Mm-hmm. I think I will go with Yo Moosey Pedal, but I also thought that Haikyuu was pretty good, so
I'll go with Haikyuu personally. I liked a lot of the things with it. I liked like the sort of build. I thought the game was fun. I liked the sort of build up in terms of them, you know, getting working together better. Some more insight as to Kageyama's backstory. I thought mm-hmm. all of that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
And that's it for us. I don't have too much else to say other than I think that these watching these sports animes has helped me try to work better in terms of getting back into shape.
Yeah.
I was actually able earlier this week to, I think the first time in my life, actually run a mile. Not quickly or anything, but I was able to actually do it, so I guess it's just a matter of just keep trying, incrementally increase the exercise, and eventually you can manage to do that.
Well, maybe you'll be able to run a double marathon like Gonan Killua.
I was thinking, a marathon is what, like 25 miles or something?
26.2.
Okay, yeah, 26, sure. Well, I ran 1 mile. I just have to do that 25 more times. It couldn't be that hard, could it?
And then if you want to surpass Gonan Killua, you not only have to do it, you have to do it twice, and you have to do it run pretty quickly before the door closes on you. So, yeah.
And don't forget running up all the stairs.
Yeah.
And then after a brief break, having to run fast enough to keep up with the guys so you don't get killed by any of like the monsters around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Golly, I wonder what like the longest anyone has managed to like the farthest distance, you know, run. But I think like even like I haven't paid that much attention. Like in marathons, I assume do people like take not necessarily like maybe brief breaks, but like just some brief stuff, like, I don't know, drink water or something, or do they just always?
Yeah,
do that
they usually like grab water for people as they're running by.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, yeah, it is pretty much straight running. They don't ever just like stop or anything. They're always going. So. And I heard that someone broke the marathon world record, did it in just over 2 hours recently, which is kind of unthinkable, but yeah.
In 2 hours, let me like just do some calculations, because I remembered in terms of speed, because I was looking this up, I was curious, like, what, like, one of the, like, minimum requirements to join the army apparently is to be able to do run 2 miles in 15 minutes. I was able to do the mile in 10 minutes, so not close to that, but but I noticed that, and I was trying to think, so if there's that, and that's like the 13, 10 times 13 is 1/3, so that would be faster than that. Of course, a big difference is that there's a big difference in terms of running, like, for 2 miles versus, like, a whole marathon. Because, like, a shorter distance, you can, like, just put more effort into your, like, speed. Just go as fast as you can. Whereas, like, you know, you can't do that in a marathon. You have to conserve your energy, so you run it at a slower pace.
Right.
Like someone who, like, goes, like, in one of those shorter things, like 100-meter dash, like, that's just a way faster speed than anyone ever doing a marathon will ever do during it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, now, all right. All right. So this has been another, episode of Marathon Therapy, where we talk about marathons and running and all sorts of other things about exercise. Also, I discovered that sit-ups can actually be harmful to your back. So that was that's a useful bit of health advice, I guess. There's alternate exercises that don't run that risk. Try those instead. Now that, anyway, you can find our previous episodes that mostly don't actually involve as much discussion about running at tunamitherapy.podbean.com and tommyaphillips.com, the latter of which also has more in-depth reviews of the series we cover by Tommy, who writes better than I talk.
Yeah, I forgot to put last week's episode up. But I'll try to make up for that this week.
Okay. All right. Did you have anything else to discuss?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, with that sage bit of advice, we'll see you next week.